It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. We are joined by Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. And so what we're going to do before we go to Dr. Craig is finish up the last 2 minutes of my interview with Dr. Martin Luther King III.
Great nation for all people.
My last question for you is, your father challenged the government, and he challenged this nation to live up to his creed. And in my 70 years of living, it has yet to do that. So speaking for the children who are coming up in a much more difficult time even than I did when we loved each other, and our community had people who were willing to fight, and we were organized and pulled together. Young people today don't know much about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. They don't know much even about Barack Obama. How do we get those young people to understand that the tie into to who they are and their futures are with our past and our history and the beauty of who we are?
Well, first and foremost, we're no different than most parents. In the sense that we have a 16-year-old. So we're constantly trying to make sure that she's aware of history while at the same time continue to move forward. And I think that one of the things that actually gives me hope is this young generation, because when you look at all of the major movements from the past, you know, 10 or 15 years, it's been led by young people. I'm looking at your tech guy here. He looks pretty, I mean, he's a leader. So yes, you know, they're always, you know, it's so interesting when people, you know, come up to Martin and said, I marched with your father. We forget that they were always the minority of the population, but those powerful few changed the whole course of our nation. I had the immense pleasure of working for Reverend C.T. Vivian, so I know what happens when people come together. So yes, there may be a lot of young people who don't know their history or don't see the connection to King, but there are a lot of young people that are every single day involved in movements, leading movements to be a part of the change for this country. And so that's what gives me hope. I know for a fact, I believe we're getting ready to see and witness the greatest generation that we have ever seen. And the way that they view the world is not just from a leadership down. They really view and see the world in a circular and equitable way. And they're the ones in a lot of ways that's powering this movement. But again, they understand that once Kamala Harris is elected, that it's not like, let's just, they're not of the savior mentality. They're of the community mentality.
God bless you.
Mom's quote.
What?
Every generation.
Oh.
God bless you. It's an honor and a privilege.
All right.
Thank you.
And you too.
God bless you. An opportunity, a great opportunity to interview Martin Luther King Jr. and his lovely wife on yesterday. I'm so excited and happy to have none other than Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, joining us once again. Dr. Craig, it is so good to see you, my friend. I'll tell you, I miss you on Radio Row. You know, but it is, you know, the excitement that goes on around Radio Row. You've been to the rodeo a couple times. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. Is there a good Radio Row this year?
It absolutely is. And, you know, the energy and excitement around it, having the opportunity to, you know, to interact with the elected officials that you see on television, and they're so accommodating that it's a great opportunity. And, you know, you helped me do that in Washington, D.C. a couple times. So I'm you know, always happy to have that opportunity. But I want to ask you about, you know, the Democrats. And, Dr. Craig, you've gotten to hear some of the speeches, I think you have. I guess sometimes you forget just how dynamic a group of people and brilliant that the Democrats actually have. We don't get to hear them collectively like that. But man, they're trotting people out left and right. And even someone like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez lit up the night. Let's talk a little bit about just the, when we know what it is. I mean, it's a pep rally. It doesn't mean that at the end of it, it guarantees anything. But your thoughts about what we're seeing at the Democratic Convention?
Well, there's a lot of talent in the Democratic Party, but there's going to need to be, right? We need momentum out of this convention, and both parties needed to. This is how the system has worked since the 1830s. So if you don't get a lot of momentum, it's like getting momentum out of a football locker room. If you don't get any, you're going to get killed, right? So you need as much as possible. The other side is ready, which Barack Obama warned people about last night. He warned people about, you know, there's going to be a lot of friction. This is going to be tough, et cetera. Now, since Watergate, we've had very much an entrepreneurial political system, especially in the Democratic side. Without the smoke-filled rooms, and there were some advantages for the smoke-filled rooms, aside from the smoke, which was not an advantage. One advantage had been that you could, you know, make these strategic selections, and now it's whoever can get themselves nominated and elected, both for Congress, for Senate, for president. But it means you have people, when you see former presidents, when you see major figures, wow, these are talented people. There's a reason they're there. There's a reason Barack Obama, there's a reason Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton held the offices they did. And then you see the younger talent. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez does not have the prestige of being a previous president, but perhaps a future president, certainly a contender. And really, her situation is different as she is from Hillary Clinton, has similarities in that she's going to be fighting the image that's been created about her, which is very different than the reality of who she is. And I think she showed that Monday night. But yeah, a lot of talent, and this needs to be a big party. And these are the true believers, right? The true believers aren't excited. And Governor Evers was a little too excited last night. He's gotten some social media lover flack, depending on who's doing it, about his inability to get Kamala Harris's name out at the end of the nomination process.
Well, I mean, the energy level in the room, Dr. Craig, and you become overwhelmed just by the energy in the room. But let's talk about Dr. Craig, how, so people don't get drunk with this. Clearly what was taking place in Chicago at the same time, 18,000 people in Milwaukee at the Pfizer Forum. And man, if you didn't know anything and didn't know better, you would say, hey, it's already in the bag, because you listen to Trump stumbling around and J.D. Vance, and you say, these people, man, for heaven's sakes, Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, I mean, just on and on and on, they keep trotting them out. But that's not how it works, is it?
No, just turn over, if you want reality check, turn over to Sean Hannity in the Fox News group or Ingram and all of those folks and see what they're saying. I mean, we have a football coach now on the ticket, right? And he understood, he won a state championship, that you need to get the players keyed up to a point where they'll perform well, but not so keyed up that they won't perform, right? That they overdo it. And that's what you mean about not getting drunk on it.
Right.
And so, but there's a lot of, I mean, Greta Neubauer, the Assembly Minority Leader, the Democrat, said that all of a sudden it's a lot easier to get volunteers. So the momentum and the excitement is having a big impact, but we're going to need all of it, because we have now two different countries. We have an Earth 1 and an Earth 2. And an Earth 2, none of this is impacting at all the other half of the country, right? And it all comes down to these states that are evenly divided, like Wisconsin. And we think Wisconsin is naturally a battleground state. It is highly unusual for a state to remain a battleground state for 20 years. And the only reason it's happened is because our changes in the composite of our electorate have been equally divided, which is not usually what happens. Usually, like a place like Iowa, your battleground state status is on the way to being one or the other. That's usually the case. But Wisconsin matters a lot, and that's why we got last night with Kamala Harris with her surprise visit. And that was clearly a kind of, a poke at Trump, like, oh, we can fill the FISA, the United Center and the FISA Forum on the same night. So they don't think so highly of your big crowd at your convention. And we saw Barack Obama getting about as racy as a president could ever get with his hand signals there about the big crowds.
You know, Dr. Craig, I am sometimes amazed as I listen to, again, the Democrats. And on the other side, I listen to what appears to be a JV team or a Fresh South team. And even when I'm at the convention and I walk past the Fox News setups and the other Republican setups, and you know, they clearly, there are people who, and if we don't forget about the Republican convention that was in Milwaukee not so long ago, you know, they had just tremendous amounts of supporters. You know, it doesn't always come down to Dr. Craig, who's the most articulate or whose message resonates the most, does it? Some of it is just, you know, people like a Donald Trump, he doesn't have to be articulate. He doesn't have to say anything that makes any sense.
No, that's right. I know we're coming to a break, but you have a very small persuadable audience. So for most of the audience, the nuance of what you do doesn't matter.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with none other than Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. If you're just joining us, we're still in Chicago at the Democratic Convention. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Go to the phone lines. And Mike from Kenosha, good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning, Dr. Craig. What a beautiful morning. Thanks for taking my call, as always. You know, I was listening to the first part of the show, and I heard over and over, you know, how do we get, the question was posed, how do we get young people to understand, how do we get them back involved and passionately involved in our politics? And I didn't hear, you know, at least what came to my mind very quickly, and that is civics. You know, we're not talking about putting civics back in schools, which, in my opinion, and I'd like to hear yours. You know, I think the people want to. I think young people certainly want to be engaged. They want to understand, but so many of them, they're confused. They don't know how to do it. And when Barack Obama said years ago, I think we're trying to get Obamacare passed, he kept on referring and really asking the public to make our politicians do this. You know, step up and make me sign this bill.
Right.
In other words, he's shouting out to get people in the game because that's how a republic works. And so if we learn how to, you know, to voice our opinion, we know how democracy is supposed to function out, and the public's responsibility in creating the structure and, you know, I mean, people will respond. Last thing about this point is, you know, when I go around and talk and people, you know, that's the number one thing people say to me, Earl, is I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know. I want to fix this, but I don't know how to do it. I say, let's plug in civics, do it immediately, and commit to civics and teaching young people how a republic is supposed to function and their role in making it work.
Hey, Mike, I think you're absolutely right. Thank you very much for the call, Dr. Craig.
Well, I think Mike is very correct about diagnosing the issue as it with not just young voters, a lot of voters who are old or middle age and older voters. But there's a chicken egg problem in that we had civics classes in high schools and elementary schools when both parties agreed civics was a good idea. When one party, the current version of the Republican Party, does not, then it's going to be very hard to do that within schools. And you have the Moms for Liberty and all the disruptions that are going on across the country and across the state of school boards and the book banning, et cetera. So I think the civics is going to have to start on the outside. And what I would focus on is that there are some who believe, and I think there's some good reasoning and analysis behind this, that there's a spiritual crisis in American democracy because both parties, starting in the late 70s and the 1980s and on, kind of sold out working people and sided with corporations and created, the problem's not global trade. It is a corporate-dominated global trade that helps only them amass money and not workers, pits worker against worker, right? And that's what closed plants across the blue wall states, right? That's why they're blue wall states, Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin. And what we need to do is we need to start showing people that they have a stake in democracy and that they have a role in it, that they can get things addressed and things are being addressed. And there are movement. The problem we've had is that the MAGA Republicans understand that as an opportunity for them. They're not actually going to do anything about it, but they're capitalizing on it. That's what their anti-establishment kind of rancid fake populism is about, that you see on Fox News, that you see with Donald Trump. And Democrats are beginning to tap into it. You're beginning to see it at this convention. That's what I was looking for, because I was watching C-SPAN, so I didn't just get the talking heads interrupting and get the minor speakers, right, and get what they're saying. And there's much more seriousness, right, than you saw it in Kamala Harris's initial economic agenda, which is receive pot shots from a lot of Clinton and Obama officials who are behind, you know, siding with corporations over average people, because they were part of it. Obviously, Ronald Reagan and the Bushes were a big part of it as well, and even more committed to it. And so there really is something going on here. You've heard Obama economists saying that it's a gimmick to say that there's price gouging in food prices. We have record profits, and it's not the grocery store chains are part of the problem. They're trying to monopolize, but the bigger problem is the food processors. And they took advantage of COVID and inflation and developed record profits. That's why we have a record stock market. And you can use price gouging legislation. Many states have had it for years. The federal government can do it. They just don't want it to, because they want to leave it to these corporate barons. And we know what they'll do is they'll get as much for prescription drug prices, food prices, what have you. They'll get as much as they possibly can, no matter what the consequence for average people.
right, let's go to CJ quickly. CJ.
Thank you for taking my call. You know, you and your guest, Dr. Craig, I hear you talk about the differences, but J.D. Vance was in Kenosha getting another endorsement, law enforcement. He got one from Trump, and Vance got it from Milwaukee the day before. So there's one party that the police believe in. There's one party that the Border Patrol believes in, and it's not Kamala and Joe Biden. You know, you didn't hear much on policy. You had all this hoopla last night, you know, the fanfare for President Obama and Michelle, and it was a wonderful speech, but a lot of symbolism, but no substance.
You mean like the Republican convention, the substance that was there? Is that what you're referring to? Okay. You know, Dr. Craig, I'll give you a chance on the other side. Guys, hang on the phone lines, 844-967-2780. Dr. Craig, do you remember all the substance at the Republican convention?
I was trying to rack my brain, Earl. I'm having trouble.
844-967-2789 is the number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with none other than Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. We're still in Chicago, and the Democratic Convention still in full effect. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. Let's go to the phone lines, and Dave from Mequon. Good morning to you, Dave. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Dr. Craig. Really quickly, what Harris did bring up, though, she did bring up capping a nationwide plan, which has been offered up by the Biden administration at a federal level, putting a rent cap of 5% for any landlord that has more than 50 units at 5%. And, you know, consequently, you know, if you're an economist, there's many negative consequences, and hopefully we don't repeat the same mistake, because you get lower housing quality, less availability, and a slowdown in new construction. And when she proposed $25,000 for a down payment on a new home to first-time buyers, well, now you're creating demand. So when you're creating demand, you're going to, or I should say in this case, because the federal government is actually juicing that aspect of it, you're going to end up having higher prices. I mean, so I think some of that leans over to what you were talking about with the price gouging with the grocery store end of things. And Dr. Craig is correct. A lot of states already have that in place, especially when you have, let's say, extreme floods, fires, hurricanes, tornadoes. That can be definitely put into place and has been used to make sure that that does not happen.
All right, Dave, we got it. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig?
Dave makes a very good point. But here's what you have to consider, okay? We have a first generation. You have to. What I'm going to say is we have to consider both sides and how you balance the policy. We have the first generation in modern American history that it really is priced out of housing. So it makes sense to make it more accessible to first-time homeowners, and that's what Kamala Harris proposes. But on the other hand, Dave is right, that creates more demand for housing, and there's already a shortage. Now, on the other hand, she's going to build 3 million new homes, right? That's also part of her agenda. And the question is, and I, you know, you need economists to figure this out, is that enough to offset that effect, or does she need to build even more? Do you see what I mean? So you right. can deal with the equity issue, the generational equity issue, but you have to do it in a way that also balances the impact of increased demand. But I don't think we should take the position that anything that raised prices we should be opposed to, regardless of how you do the policy, because that is inequitable. That says that people from my generation, your generation, Earl, should be able to have a much higher proportion of the homes than those behind us. And that doesn't seem reasonable either. But you have to take into account the issue Dave raised as well. And we will have to see what the economic analyses are. The ones I've seen just have looked at that in isolation. I think that's wrong. You have to look at our overall policy and its effect.
All right, let's go to Charles. Good morning to you, Charles. You say what, sir?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I was just calling. My sister and I actually were at the Pfizer forum last night, and I've never seen anything like that before. The excitement outside the arena, inside the arena, and the number of young people, young faces that I saw throughout the arena, especially young ladies, young girls, made my heart full. So it was a pretty, pretty exciting to be a part of that. And for CJ's point about these police unions backing Republicans, I think they only want to hear what they want to hear. If I'm correct, crime was up while Donald Trump was president. It's going down with the Biden and Harris administration. So I think one of the things that Democrats are messaging is not there the way it should be, because that should be a narrative that's out there that when Trump was president, crime was up and it is going down now. That's all I got to say this morning.
So let me say this to you. Charles, I interviewed Josh Call, the Attorney General for the state of Wisconsin, on yesterday, and we're going to play him back on tomorrow, who's echoing and saying exactly what it is you are saying, verbatim. The words you just used to express crime, where it was, where it is now, Josh Call said those precise words, and we'll play him interview I had with him on yesterday on tomorrow. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, the excitement, we know it's unbelievable, and it kind of takes, and as I was interviewing Dr. Martin Luther King III on yesterday, he equated the excitement, he hasn't seen it, and it's more exciting now than it was with when Barack Obama was running. Nobody's questioning whether or not that energy and excitement is happening, Dr. Craig. We know it is. It's just whether or not that'll be that's enough to carry people through. But hopefully what we're talking about with that energy and excitement, Dr. Craig, is people volunteering their time to make it happen, right?
Yes, and the reason it matters is not because Kamala Harris isn't well positioned to win the popular vote. We don't have a Democratic presidential election. And we, in other words, the Electoral College is stacked against Democrats right now. And as a result, only one Republican in the last eight presidential elections has won the popular vote. That was George W. Bush in 2004. And so that's the issue. And therefore we need to do better. It's like our end of the football field is slanted the wrong way, or the volleyball course, and we got to play a little better than the other side, because Trump won in 2016 while losing the popular vote, and that meant to get covered over. And so the excitement's very necessary now, and the caller also referred to crime going down. This is the problem with how politics is run frankly, on both sides in this country. Anything bad happening in the country, say our opponent is responsible for it. We knew darn well the crime surge was because of the COVID pandemic and the social and economic dislocation it created. It cost Mandela Barnes a U.S. Senate race against Ron Johnson. But now that it's going down, it needs to be landed home that this did not have to do with further militarizing our society or adding a whole lot more police officers. Now, CJ, before the break, told us that because police unions are supporting Donald Trump, that we should take that seriously. Let's get real. People in general, not all of them, but in general, people who go into law enforcement are people who believe in the use of force, right? And security over other solutions to our social problems. And therefore, they tend to be much more Republican. Same with border guards. That does not mean that you will be safer if you vote for Donald Trump. I think you're over-ascribing to it. What we need is, we don't need to defund the police, and no Democrat has defended that, okay? Not seriously, and certainly not national leaders. What we need is a more balanced system that prevents crime a whole lot better, because we're leaving all of that on the table, and it is always cheaper to prevent. It's like medicine and anything else. Better not to have cancer than to spend millions of dollars trying to treat the cancer, right? And that's why our healthcare system is problematic. And that's the problem. We can't have enough police if the only solution to crime is policing. But police tend to want, you know, because they go into that profession, not all of them. We know there are these great January 6th Capitol Police who are campaigning strong for the other side, right? And are touring the country. So I don't want to say that about all police officers, but you can see it's a spurious argument that we should take seriously, that the border guards are for Trump, so we should vote for Trump.
All right, let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Yeah, I just want to make a couple of points. One, with the house buying and the holding down of the 5% with 50 or more units, I think that's looking at something that the Harris-Walsh campaign talks about in helping all people. The multiple unit with the 5% increase are for people who can't afford to buy a house, so that when they move somewhere, they don't end up getting squeezed out because they're working on a minimum income, or you've got two working parents working, you know, jobs maybe where they should be making more money, but they're doing the best they can. As far as the house market goes, it is what it is, and it's always been kind of a financial football going back and forth. But to go to the police and the border guard, I think if you ask most officers, they would probably tell you that they don't appreciate the fact that, you know, they need gun control of some sort to make them safer when they're out doing their jobs. And as far as the Border Patrol goes, I'd be interested to go down and interview a couple of those guys and ask them exactly how they feel about the fact that a lot of money was going to be poured in their direction and a lot of assistance at the crossing, as well as the other borders in Texas and such, and was stopped by Donald Trump because he wanted to win on that. And that's it.
Always good stuff, Brendan. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to anything Brendan had to say?
Well, Brendan's last point is pertinent. It tells you the boarding guard in endorsing Donald Trump is more partisan than it is policy-based, because he is completely right. I don't agree with it, but the Biden administration and Democrats found common cause with one of the most right-wing U.S. senators in Oklahoma and came up with a very, very strong, very Republican border security package. And Donald Trump didn't want it to pass because he thought it would take away a political issue from him, and blocked it. And you would think the border guards, if they were mostly concerned about policy and doing their jobs, would be outraged. But not every border guard, but apparently the majority or the leadership of the border guards union is more partisan than it is judging performance here. Because Donald Trump, the caller is absolutely right, just undermine border security. And it shows that this is more of a political football, as the caller also said, than it is trying to solve any policy problem.
All right, let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. Your thoughts?
Two something that CJ brought up that really concerned me was talking about how police unions are backing someone who wants to be an authoritarian, someone who wants to control everything. And who would be doing that controlling? Who would be the ones enforcing what Trump wants? And that would be authoritarian police who are now backing Trump. So that deeply concerns me. I think it really erodes trust in our police force. We need to have happen to them to have the public lose faith in them. And the other one, we're talking about housing. I think something big on that, and that's with these that are buying up single family homes in communities. Some city out west, some corporation bought like 12,000 homes in one city, and they're now using those as rent outfits. I think that really needs to get looked, and that should be stopped, because corporations do not actually have that much power to that's out there.
Hey Tom, you're right on point. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to any of that?
And I know we're near the break. I agree, and it's an issue in Milwaukee, but that 5% cap helps address that, because these equity firms want to own all this housing so they can jack up the rents. So that takes, but I agree, there should be federal intervention into this.
Dr. Craig Holithorn, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you on the Earl Ingram Show. We're still in beautiful Chicago as the Democratic Convention continues rolling on. Welcome back to what is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. I can't believe it. You know, Dr. Craig, every time you're on, more and more callers and more people are listening to you and love the what I've enjoyed and loved about you well over a decade is your intellect and understanding the questions and given these kinds of quality answers, well thought out answers. Let me ask you. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. So Dr. Craig, you've been around the political arena a little bit. You're not a novice. As this thing ramps up and debates and those kinds of things play into this, the young people are motivated. There's no question whatsoever, Dr. Craig, that young people, women, are motivated. But you clearly talked about the states. I'm just not the
Electoral College.
Electoral College. I don't know why I'm having trouble remembering Electoral College. Dr. Craig, how can it be that the Electoral Colleges, even though, you know, Donald Trump, and you talked about the Democrats in all these different elections doing what they're doing, and yet Donald Trump and Republicans can garner more electoral votes. How is that possible?
Well, we all know an appendix is a part of the body that you don't actually need, that is from an earlier stage of evolution. Assuming you believe in evolution, which most of our listeners on civic media would. And so this is an appendix in the American political system. We had, you know, only property, white male property owners could vote at the founding of this country. And it was the first broad scale democracy. They were concerned that the public might get carried away by some kind of excitement and make a really bad, like choose a dictator, right? They were very concerned, right? Unlike what this current Supreme Court thinks, they didn't want to create a king or a dictator. And so this was supposed to be this kind of college of elders, hence the word college, that if necessary could step in and say, okay, we're not putting the 18th century Donald Trump. I guess that would be Aaron Burr, for those of you who know the Hamilton play. We're not going to let him. And he did make a play for the presidency with another flaw in the Constitution. We could tell that story sometime. And then it hasn't been changed. It hasn't functioned that way. In most of the time, maybe two or three elections, and it's just been this kind of appendix. But the problem is, it's bounced around who it was benefiting, right? In other words, in the 19th century, it wasn't necessarily, you know, progressives were being disadvantaged at the hands of conservatives, but just where the population distribution is, and where voting patterns are, and how Democratic votes tend to be. The more diverse areas of the country, it means those are concentrated in the major cities, and there's all this land that has spread out white people whose votes are worth more as a result. And so it's something that should have been fixed a long time ago, but given our constitutional amendment process is broken, it is so hard to do a constitutional amendment, it's near impossible, it's too hard, that it's the only way it's going to be addressed is if we really get a pro-democracy majority that's willing to take the bull by the horns. Another thing that has been worked out that could work, Earl, is if all the states signed a compact agreeing that they would give their electoral college vote to the national, you know, majority winner. In other words, the one who won the popular vote. And if you had a majority of the electoral vote, you know, states representing a majority of the electoral vote do that, you wouldn't have to amend the Constitution. You'd have a functional national popular vote.
So clearly, Republicans, as well as Democrats, are very much aware of that. Republicans know it's their lifeline. And Democrats who are in the know about it are very cautious not to get so excited and think that, you know, the fight is already over.
Yeah, and it's a party first in our history that decided democracy and popular rule is not in its interest. One of your earlier callers made a comment about police unions that are willing to back an authoritarian and what a bad look that is. And it's a very bad democratic look because law enforcement, the military, in its true tradition, stands for democracy and sees itself as backing that up. And we've seen very good things at the top of the military. We saw General Milley and the Joint Chiefs of Staff actually planning for what if Trump makes some sort of damaging order to the whole country in his last days when he was bouncing around and so upset about losing the election. And I'd like to see police unions operate in that fashion too. A lot of Capitol Police have, and it's not every officer. There are a lot of officers that believe the right things while do the right things, but it is disturbing and a bad look that someone who would have deliberately tried to use force to overturn the last election and attack police officers is now being backed by police unions all over the country. It's a terrible look.
You know, Dr. Craig, that it is, and it's been that way for a long time. And you know, and just for the sake of clarity, I have so many different friends who are in law enforcement and who've retired, and they don't agree with that. You know, unfortunately, that's their union, which doesn't represent all the people. And so sometimes all law enforcement gets a bad rap because of their policies and the fact that they're willing to sit down and listen to Vance guys like Vance. And then guys like CJ can call in and talk about just how great it is that the, you know, the unions are supporting people who we think are not the right guys.
Look at that film of Vance with the Milwaukee Police Union. It's on YouTube. It's actually quite disturbing that would be embraced by the Milwaukee Police Union, and it actually gives more credibility to those who think that there's a real problem with policing in our city.
Dr. Craig, we got to leave it there. We'll talk soon. Thank everybody who made the show go. Up next, Matt Nair on air. Greg Bach, Jane Matt Nair. Thank you, Calvin. Appreciate it. See you later.